Welcome to the Music Box.
Before we begin, access this episode's activities for listening at wuol.org/musicbox. Hi, my name is Sarah Louise, and this is a podcast where imagination comes first.
All questions are good questions. No matter who you are and where you're listening from, you are a musician, and you can make up your own music. That means that you can be a composer. We're taking classical music out of the box and giving you the inspiration and tools to compose your stories into music.
You're listening to the Music Box.
Down the hall from Miss Quesada and Miss Ruff's class at Lincoln Elementary, we hear the fourth grade orchestra busily practicing. Let's go check it out.
What are you all doing?
Practicing, but we can't get it right.
We're trying to learn Twinkle Twinkle, but it's just not working.
Miss Haverstick, we can't do it.
Yes, you can. Once more from the top. You got this.
If you would only practice me more, you wouldn't be so frustrated.
What was that?
I said, if you would only practice me more, you wouldn't be so frustrated.
Help! My cello's talking to me!
Yeah, I can talk to you.
Help! My viola's alive!
Eek! My violin!
I never thought about my instrument having a voice.
Maybe I should spend more time trying to let it sing.
Okay, so I understand expressing myself, but I would rather just play whatever I want to play on my instrument. I just want to make it up. Why do I have to play these dinky notes on the page anyway?
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Guten Tag! My name is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and I am a composer. And a superhero!
Just go with it.
Well, anyways, I flew here from the 1700s to tell you why these dinky little dots called music notes are important. Ha! Do you think you could have easily learned music from over 300 years ago without them?
Well, we could have learned Twinkle Twinkle by ear. Folk tunes are passed down by ear.
Well, Twinkle Twinkle is a pretty short and easy song. But do you think more than 50 people in an orchestra could learn my symphonies without those tiny dots?
Well, no.
What about my operas with singers and an orchestra? Those complicated stories and intricate musical lines are much too long to learn by ear. And I labored over writing all those little dots down right in the exact correct location.
Sorry, we really didn't mean to offend you.
Sorry. I didn't mean to lose my temper there, but it is important to learn to read the musical notes while you are still young, just as you learn your ABCs. And then, over time, you can learn to read more music than you could dream of and make it come to life through your instruments even 300 years after it was made up.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's kind of like we're decoding time capsules or something.
Yes, you are! You are learning a very important skill that can keep alive traditions of the past and invent new ones. You are the real superheroes!
Thanks, Mozart!
No prob. Before I forget, I heard someone say they would just rather make up the music.
That was me, sir. Sorry, I was a little frustrated.
Frustrated? You mean brilliant? I make up music all the time! I even wrote a piece for orchestra, and I didn't have enough time to finish my part, so I just made up the piano part. The audience loved it! But making up music, or as it's called, improvising, is the way I compose. First, I make it up. Then I write it down on the page so others can read it later. Try it out. Oh, no, I'm running late for the Salzburg concert. Again! again! Oh, I hope they don't fire me. Well, auf Wiedersehen!
Class, listen up. Well, that was interesting. I don't even really know what to say.
Since we're on the subject, what is classical music anyway? I'm still kind of confused.
According to the dictionary, classical music is
serious music following long-established principles rather than folk, jazz, or popular tradition.
More specifically, music written in European tradition from 1750 to 1830.
Actually, that's not quite right. That definition is about the classical music time period, which is only a small part of all of classical music.
Why are the genre and the time period both called classical music?
What's the origin of classical music? Who? What? Where? Why? When? How?
Let's go do some research at the library.
And get some help from an expert.
Hey.
Hello, welcome to the University of Louisville Music Library. How may I help you?
Is Matt here?
He is. I can take you back to him right now. How's that sound?
Thank you.
All right. Actually, here he is now. He's coming out here.
Perfect.
Hello, my name is Matt Ertz. I am the assistant director and music librarian at the Dwight Anderson Memorial Music Library at the University of Louisville.
We have a favor to ask. We have some questions that need to be answered.
Well, sure thing.
So, what exactly is classical music?
It's a long story, that's for sure. Well, it all began back in antiquity with the ancient Greeks and the ancient Egyptians, and then it was eventually developed into Gregorian chant, where they started to write things down. And this is called monophonic music, and then after that, they started doing two lines at the same time, and this is the birth of polyphony and organum.
All very interesting, but it's so hard to explain classical music because there's so much of it, and people like you, they spend their whole lives learning about it. Is there any way you can show the kids an example to help everyone understand the history of classical music a little better?
I know there's, I have the history of classical music in 20 volumes. I have the Richard Tereskin. Let's see, got it around here somewhere. Let's see, something back here maybe. I have this time machine.
What? A time machine?
Yeah!
It's been here forever, so I'm not sure if it still works. Let's try it out here.
Whoa! I'm not sure if your permission slips cover time machines.
Oh no, it's starting! Come quick! Quick, come in!
Buckle up for safety!
Oh my gosh, I think I'm about to. Oh, this is fun!
We'll be traveling over 1,000 years in a matter of minutes. As we travel through time, write down and think of some things you notice about the music. Here we go.
Our first stop. Welcome to the medieval and Renaissance periods, which lasted all the way from around the year 500 to the year 1600. That's over 1,000 years of music.
But remember, things moved a lot slower back then.
Mm-hmm. And during this time, people started to write music down. And even though we have no recordings, we are still able to read the music and play it today.
So think big castles, knights rescuing princesses, kings feasting at long tables, that kind of stuff.
And this is what their music sounded like.
back in the time machine, everyone. We'll be traveling towards the future now. We'll hear three pieces of music from each time period we stop in. Tell me what you think about the music.
That made me cry. It was so overwhelming.
That was cool. I liked the first part. It sounded like horses.
It was really good, and I should listen to that music a lot.
Now, this is the Baroque.
What? It's broke?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What am I going to tell the principal?
No, no, no. It's not broke, as in broken. I said the Baroque. Baroque. It is the time period which happened from the year 1600 to 1750.
This is what European music sounded like during the time that the American colonies were being founded. The music we'll hear was composed in Germany, Italy, and England.
Exciting and not slow.
I thought it was really cool and interesting.
It was really fast, and I like fast.
It was very, 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 very fast.
And here we are in the classical period. The classical period happened between the year 1750 and 1820.
So what they call the classical time period is just a small part of the whole genre of classical music. A genre is the type of music, like country, hip-hop, or rock. As we fly through time, see if you can come up with a better name for the classical music genre.
First one sounded like when, like, there's a royal party.
It sounded really kind of hard to play.
We've arrived in the Romantic period, happening from around the year 1820 to 1900.
Ugh, romance is not really my thing.
Not that kind of romance. The Romantic period happened in music, literature, and art. They emphasized emotion and individual experience.
Now I just awoke because of that music.
I really like the piano stuff.
Too many chords.
It's my favorite time period so far.
Now we're getting into more modern territory, or rather in the last 100 years, which is pretty modern for classical. We've landed around the beginning of the 1900s, which is when modern music started.
There was also more American classical music at this time, like this first piece.
The first piece was very electrifying.
The third one sounds like it should be in the Twilight Zone.
Sounded like a boy that had asked a woman to marry her, and then he said no, and she was like, begging, please!
Well, I think that the songs are really cool, and I want to learn that on my violin.
Third one just sounded crazy.
Okay. We are going to make a quick stop around the 1950s because there was lots of really interesting experimentation around this time that I want you to hear.
Explain it in three words.
Weird, crazy, techie.
And here we are, back to the present times. And here's some pieces that were written by composers who are still alive today.
It's good to know classical music is still alive and well, and there are new compositions being written all the time. Different types of classical music. Some of it's serious, some of it's sad, and some of it's just silly.
I still have my mind.
That's one of the reasons I love classical music. There's a song for any emotion I'm feeling, and when I hear that song or play it on my violin, I can connect to someone who felt the same emotion maybe even hundreds of years ago. Do you think about classical music differently now? What was your favorite music? you have a better name for the classical music genre?
I'd call it Creative Earthlings.
I like art music. Mm-hmm. I use it all the time.
I would just call it, like, creative music.
Longest running genre?
I would call it, my music.
Remember, in our time machine, we only heard a few minutes from hundreds and hundreds of years of music history. This gives you the big idea, but there are thousands of amazing pieces of music from each of those time periods, and the wonderful thing is there is always more music to discover and listen to.
The world of classical music is very overwhelming, mostly because there is so much of it. Where do I start? Who do I start with? What's my favorite instrument? These are all hard questions, and my advice to you is to just pick one and start there, and you can go backwards, you can go forwards. Just start somewhere and dive right in.
Dive in with our Music Box activities online at wuol.org/musicbox. You can make your own classical music videos as the final project and then email them to us so we can add them to our Time Machine website. In our next episode, we'll meet Rachel Grimes, a real-life composer from Kentucky, who will be sharing her story and insider composer tips. Thanks to Ms. Haverstick and her fourth grade orchestra for their script ideas and acting. Thanks to Lucas Adams for playing the role of Mozart. And thanks to Matt Ertz for his expertise in letting us ride in the university's time machine. Thank you to our recording assistant, Ann Gothier, and our photographer, Tyler Franklin. I'm your host and producer, Sarah Louise, and thank you for listening. The Music Box is a production of Louisville Public Media and is made possible with the generous support of PNC.
This is 90.5 WUOL Louisville and WUOL.org from Louisville Public Media.